All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and the moment you've all been waiting for. We are back with March Degeneracy, as I promised. This is Discipline. And we're back for a whole hour, so let's get started. Hameki is naked on top of the table. She is squatting over a bowl of steaming rice and bearing down. I don't have to ask. Now you get to enjoy Hayami's fresh hot semen over a bowl of rice. Ugh. Ugh. Hameki grunts and bears down. My semen comes oozing out of her vagina and onto the rice. The rice is covered in a thick white fluid that looks like yogurt. He came so much for us, the bowl is about to overflow. When Hameki gets every last drop out of the rice, she sighs and relaxes. That's all of it. There's a scary bowl of something under her. It's steaming. The rice is warming it up. This is causing it to emit a putrid smell. Is she really gonna eat it? There's only one person who would. Leona looks at it, satisfied. She sprinkles small pieces of nori over it. It's done. The Leona Special Semen Rice Bowl. I put a nori garnish on it because I'm so thoughtful. It looks delicious. Hameki looks at the bowl. She sniffs it. She's serious. It's a bowl of steaming rice with my semen on top of it, with small pieces of nori sprinkled on it. It does not look like anything a human being would eat. It doesn't really look inedible, but the smell coming from it makes me want to vomit. I'm gonna eat it now. Crack! Hameki cracks open a pair of chopsticks and picks up a chunk with lots of semen on it. I don't think you should do that. She doesn't listen to me. She puts the poisonous rice into her mouth. Yum. How does it taste? Disgusting, of course. The delicious. Excuse me. It's delicious. The freshly cooked rice and the thick semen are a perfect match. And the flavor of the nori makes it just perfect. I couldn't have even imagined Hameki's reaction. My mouth hangs open in shock. I wonder why we never thought of this before. You may have a bite if you'd like, Miss Leona. What? Oh, no, thank you. I'm not hungry. That's too bad. It's so delicious. Hey, that's right, Momone, you haven't had lunch yet. Leona's eyes turn towards another girl. She looks familiar. What? Me? Pardon. Eat some of this. According to Hameki-san, it's delicious. Please, Nishizaki-san, it's very good. Hameki chews on a mouthful as she hands the bowl and the chopsticks to Momone. Go on, try some, don't be shy. Just a little bit then. Momone is sweating a little. She grabs the chopsticks fearfully. She sees that Hameki is enjoying it quite a bit and begins to think that maybe it's really not so bad. Maybe it's really good. Semen is protein, so maybe it goes with the carbohydrates and the rice. She reasons with herself and grabs a chunk of semen-covered rice. She brings it slowly to her mouth and tells herself this is delicious over and over again. Bite. She chews slowly, checking it out. Oh. Momone crouches down on the floor, her face contorts, and she begins to vomit. I guess Nishizaki-san doesn't like it so much. Ugh, it's disgusting. How could anyone eat that? She spits and spits, trying desperately to get the taste out of her mouth. I watch with mixed feelings. But it's so good, Hameki says sadly and finishes the rest of it. I almost puke watching Hameki eat it like it's nothing. Hameki-san satisfied, so let's call it a day. Thank God. Leona claps her hands and proclaims, the curtain finally falls on this hell. Hayami-kun, you can go now. That was a lot of fun, Leona says. I'm exhausted. Hearing those words, what little strength I have leaves me. What was so fun about it? It was a nightmare for me. Far from fun. So we'll see you again tomorrow. Oh, and we'll be awaiting your decision to join our club, Leona smiles and says. That's right, we've gone off on such a tangent I forgot. This was a ritual to initiate me into the social club. Who would join after being treated like this? Anyone who joins willingly after this is not sane. They would suck my bones dry if I associated with them. I swear that I'll never join this club. I run out of the room on my wobbly legs. I finally make it back to the classroom on my wobbly legs, but homeroom is over and the room is empty. I sigh and go to my desk and put my things in my bag. I didn't get lunch and I didn't make it to my afternoon classes. It may be fine for Leona and her friends, but as I have no connections, I just skip class. I wonder if Otokawa went to her club. I bet she's mad at me for skipping out on afternoon classes. I guess I could show my face at the Bible study group, but there's not much time left till campus closes. Man, the first place I'd go would be the Bible study group after all that. Besides, there's something more important I have to tend to. We'll be looking forward to your decision to join our club. I can hear that scary woman, Leona's voice in my head. It's only a matter of time before they force me to join the social club. If that should happen, I'll be their plaything until the day I graduate. I can just see it now. I would much rather join the Bible study club. Give me a break! I will not join the social club. If I don't hurry up and do something, I'll be forced to join. I have to join a safer club before that happens. I think with my exhausted head, this isn't the time for this. Even if it doesn't interest me, I'd happily join any club if it was decent. Since the Bible study group is just a study group, it won't make a very good excuse to refuse Leona. Since sure, I can join anywhere, but I didn't see any decent clubs yesterday. The only other club I can think of is Sudo's Photography Club. I'm sure that if I joined that criminal club, nothing good would come of it. I racked my brain to come up with a good idea. I can't think of anything. Besides, all clubs with a healthy male membership have been eradicated by Leona. And the few that are left treat their male members like slaves and are hanging on by a thread. But I can't very well give up. But will I be able to find a new club? No. If I have time to think it over, I should be acting. I have to make a decision today or I may be forced to join tomorrow. There is still time till campus closes. I have to decide by then. I have no choice but to go check out each and every one. I pull the list of clubs and notes out of my bag and search for clubs that I haven't checked into yet. I use a pen to cross out the clubs I looked at yesterday, and I cross out the clubs I have no interest in looking into. More than half of the list gets crossed out in no time at all. Not this one either. Not this one either. Not this one. Not this one. Not this one. I stop at the last one. In small letters it says, baseball. The baseball club. I'm not that interested, so it didn't catch my eye, but if it's still on the list, it means the baseball club is still an option. If it's the baseball club, it's gonna be guys. Even if it doesn't interest me, that's reason enough to join. But I don't recall seeing any signs of a baseball team in the fields. It'd be faster to go check rather than sit here and think about it. I leave immediately to go check out the baseball club room. In the baseball club room in the far corner of the school grounds, the president of the club, Isobe, is alone thinking. The club room is a converted storage shack. It's not much of a club room at all. Not that there were any club members. The room was too big for just the club president and manager. What should we do? Isobe looks at the notice to shut down that came from the... Isobe looks at the notice to shut down that came from the student body committee and sighs for the 10th time today. They had a good run. They didn't even have enough people for a team. Today, the last male member left. Now they couldn't even play catch. When was the last time they played a game anyway? It's no wonder they were getting shut down. Be strong, sir. If you don't keep your spirits up, we really will get shut down. The manager tries to cheer Isobe up. The only reason Isobe was able to hang on this long was because of the manager. She stood by him as the members quit one after another. Fine, they should quit if that's what they really want. I'll keep this club running even if I'm the only one. Screw this shutdown notice. The baseball club will not be shut down so long as I'm here. You're right. This is no time to be depressed. I'm gonna try harder. I'm gonna bring the baseball club back to life. Isobe is worked up. He grabs the manager's hand. He's pumped up and ready to fight to bring the baseball club back to life. Damn the student body committee. Let them come shut me down anytime. I will show them my Isobe special magic ball. Isobe invokes the name of a magic ball that doesn't even exist. That's more like it. I'm sure the members will come back. The manager's words bring back memories of the old days when he played ball with his older schoolmates. Those were the days they would practice until the sun went down. With a deluxe bat. Let's turn this club into something that the entire country has its eye on. Say that as he may, but this team had never even won a game. In fact, they couldn't even find anyone that would play them. But that didn't matter. Isobe was shaking with emotion. The manager digs around her bag and pulls out a cute envelope. Sir, there's something I'd like you to read. What is this? I'd like you to read this. Huh? Isobe takes the envelope from her. What is it? It's a love letter. I've wanted to give it to you for a while, but I couldn't quite muster up the courage. It's my true feelings. The manager blushes and looks away. Please excuse me. Goodbye. She accomplishes her task and practically runs out of there. Thanks for your hard work. Isobe is in shock as he watches her go. He's left alone in the club room. All that remains is a hint of the pleasant fragrance of her hair. She's a good girl. He takes a deep whiff of the fragrance and looks at the love letter she gave him. A love letter. Spring has finally come for me. It's been a long, dark wait, day after day of sweat and tears. But now the wait is finally over. Finally, a love will blossom with a cute manager here in this club room. So long as I have her, I don't need any club members. In fact, it would only get in the way. But I have to get this baseball club back on its feet for her. And together, we will make this team the best in the country. Isobe wipes his tears in his eyes with his hand. He opens the envelope she gave him. He pulls out the cute stationery from the envelope and runs his eyes over her round letters. Dear sir, thank you for all that you've done for me. As of today, I'm leaving the baseball club to join the tennis club. Please don't stop me. Goodbye. Isobe finishes reading the letter and drops it on the floor. He stands there in shock. He could practically hear their sweet dream shatter. Tears of joy turn to tears of sadness. Damn it! I'll show you! Isabe screams and starts to swing the metal bat around. All of you making fun of me, go ahead and quit! Isabe didn't even notice that someone had come into the room. I looked at Isabe swinging the bat ferociously in the room. I live for baseball. I don't need a woman. That Sal led me on and played with my heart. Pig! 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 Just you wait. I'll become a professional ball player and I'll become famous. Then you'll want to be my friend, but it'll be too late. Isabe swings the metal bat around, mumbling. I'm terrified by the swinging metal bat. I try to talk to the mumbling guy who's intent on practicing his swings. I don't understand why he would be swinging the bat around in such a small place, no matter how dedicated he may be to practicing his swings. Excuse me, I've come to check out the baseball club. Damn. It's that damn Leona Morimoto's fault. Ever since she started treating the baseball club like we're a pain in the ass, our budget and our membership have been declining. And we haven't gotten any new members either. My ears pick up at the mention of Leona Morimoto's name. He's like me. The guy swinging the bat is so angry at Leona that he feels the urge to kill. That's right, it's all her fault. My heartbreak, the baseball club being shut down, Japan's recession, it's all her fault. Damn, he's even blaming her for Japan's recession. Fuck. I think the baseball club meets my requirements to a T. Nothing else, this club is not under Leona Morimoto's thumb. I have no experience whatsoever with baseball, but it doesn't matter. I'll join and deal with that later. Katsuo Isobe, I will not let Leona Morimoto beat me down. In that moment, I decide to join the baseball team. I'd like to join the baseball team. Huh? He finally sees me, stops swinging his bat, and looks at me. What did you just say? I'd like to join. His eyes are red with rage. I step back. Are you serious? Yes. You're sure? Yes. There's a pause. He firmly places his hand on my shoulder. He's excited. Great. I see. You want to join? I've been waiting for a nice guy like you. He shakes my shoulder. I didn't expect this kind of welcome. I'm the baseball club president, Katsuo Isobe. What's your name? Takuro Hayami. Takuro, I see. Takuro, great name like Ichiro. Sure. So you want to join. I am so happy you came. Nice to meet you, Takuro. I'm not really sure what's going on, but nice to meet you too. I'm a bit overwhelmed by his intensity, but I'm glad it was so easy to join. At least now I have an excuse to decline Leona's invitation. Let's have you write your name on an application before you change your mind. Okay. I write my name on the application. Great. As of now, you are an official member of the baseball club. I'm counting on you. Thanks. He seems kind of sketchy, but he doesn't seem like a bad guy. Besides, with his intensity, I think he can stand up to Leona Morimoto. Where are the other members? I'd like to say hello. Don't worry, we're the only two members. Huh? That does not give me a very good feeling. It's just the two of us, so there are no ranks. No need to be uptight. Let's just take it easy. But we can't play baseball if it's just the two of us. Don't worry about it. You only need two people to play catch. And we even have deluxe equipment. And we even have deluxe equipment just in case we have an actual game. Deluxe, I say. Right. And think about it. Since there's only two of us, you can... Try that again. Since there's only two of us, you're automatically a regular. You can choose whatever position you want. Isn't that an awesome perk? So, what do you want to play? Right field? If you want to pitch, that's fine too. Don't look so worried, it's fine. Other people will join. Do you have any leads? No. I wonder if it's gonna be okay. I've never heard of a baseball club that can't play baseball. I'm unsure. I look down at the desk. Sitting there is a notice of termination of activities from the student body committee. I read through it. It says that the baseball club will be shut down unless it can come up with at least 9 members within 3 days. It says that you have to come up with 9 members or you'll get shut down. Oh, that? Don't worry about it. It's just a threat. Just ignore that. I'm not sure if he's got guts or if he's an idiot. But is it really going to be okay? I don't think Leona Morimoto is just going to let it go. And if that's the case, in 3 days, I will be back to the go-home club. If that happens, I'll be forced to join the social club. I cannot let the baseball club get shut down so easily. I finally found a safe club. I have no choice but to trust this guy. Don't worry about it. We haven't been shut down yet. So long as we have members, the baseball club will continue to exist. Obvious typo there. Sure. If I didn't join, I wonder if he was planning to continue all on his own. It's because of me that the baseball club has been able to continue despite losing members. I won't complain if they cut my budget. They tell me I'm in the way, so I can't use the field. I'm cool. That's the secret to living on. Wah-ha-ha-ha. I get the feeling that he's the reason why people leave. I shouldn't worry about it, because I got to join. I look down at the floor. I see letterhead on the floor. There's a letter here. I go to pick it up. Isabe quickly picks it up before I can and rips it up. RIP. This has nothing to do with you. I just finished reading it and was about to throw it away. He's pretty worked up about it. I wonder what it was about. It's late. Let's call it a day. So starting tomorrow, we're gonna work towards being number one. He sticks his hand out. I shake it unenthusiastically. Not enthusiastically. This guy kind of worries. I'm counting on you, Takaro. Sure. He and I leave the club shack together. As I said, this guy kind of worries Hayami a bit. And I understand, but he does have a mission. He's got a passion to destroy Leona Morimoto. And the best way he can is by actually reviving the baseball club. Which would have to be an all-male club. I think. I don't know. He and I leave the club shack together. At the same time, assistant Dean Kozo Machida was plotting something in the corner of the empty parking lot. Oh, wow. The old man's back at it. That brat! She will regret incurring my anger! The assistant Dean snickers and looks at Leona's car parked in front of him. It's the yellow Ferrari that ran him over this morning. As step one of his vengeance against Leona Morimoto, the assistant's Dean idea is to retaliate against the car that almost killed him. Brett driving around a supercar like this. What's this thing called? Whatever. It doesn't matter. What's a filthy name? Just because it's a foreign car? What's up with the fella anyway? And it costs $50,000? Give me a break, you could build a house with that. I've had a Corolla my entire life. Corolla. The more I think about it, the more it makes me mad. It's all because that brat broke the rules and drove herself to school. If she has no intention of stopping driving to school, I'll wreck her car so she can't drive to school anymore. The assistant Dean gets himself fully worked up and begins to wail on Leona's car. Take this, you brat! This is what happens when you make me mad! Damn! What is this thing? It won't dent! The assistant Dean kicks the car over and over, but the body is made of carbon Kevlar. This old man's wimpy kicks don't make a single dent. The assistant Dean sees that he's not making a dent and kicks the door with more force. Stop that, you scum! The second the assistant Dean lands the kick, Leona Morimoto's voice comes from within the car. What? If you continue, you'll be sorry. Ah, you devil worshipper! Where are you? Where are you? Leona Morimoto doesn't show herself. Making fun of me, I see! You're too afraid of me to come out! The assistant Dean kicks the car over and over again. Stop that, you scum! That was the sound of a weight hitting the floor. Sorry about that, guys. Leona's voice again, and it's exactly the same as before. If you don't stop, you'll be sorry. The voice is coming from an empty car. The assistant Dean realizes that it's the car's security system. I see. The security system. It's the security system. Scaring me like that. What a creepy security system. Now that I know that, I'm not holding back. You will feel my wrath. Take that, you sow! I'm going to show you. The assistant dean is getting angrier. He pulls out a letter opener from his pocket and sticks it in the Goodyear Eagle's Goodyear Eagle F1s. Huh. The tire goes flat. That makes the assistant dean happy. He laughs. He sets his sight on the next tire and makes a move towards it. You just don't listen, do you? Don't you understand what stop means? You idiot, stupid, bald head, stupid bastard. Leona's voice shouts at the assistant dean, who is in a great mood. How dare you pick on my insecurities! The assistant dean's blood begins to boil. He picks up a rock and slams it down on the car. The car's exterior cannot withstand this sort of attack. The finish starts to crack. You just won't listen. I hope you're prepared for the consequences. Go for it. You're just a machine. What can you do? Let's see it. Fine, if you don't stop in 10 seconds, you're gonna be sorry. You're gonna wish you were dead. 10, 9. Regret my ass. You're just a car. What can you do? 6, 5. Empty threats. Three, two, one. Bang! So, bye then. Isobei and I walk to the gate together and decide to go our different ways. You live in the dorm, right? Yeah. I can't believe you live there. They're all weirdos, aren't they? Yeah, but it's not like I had a choice. There was a guy in our club who used to live there, but he ran away in 3 days. I'm sure the same thing happened to him as me. Be careful. You're a valuable member of our club. I can't have you quitting. I'm getting used to it. Anyway, make sure you show up on time. I will. Later. I wave goodbye to him and start to head back to the dorm. Then. Kaboom! What? What was that? We turn around to see where the loud explosion came from. A bomb just went off! Someone call an ambulance! The assistant dean is on fire! Call the fire department and the bomb squad! I can hear screams and wails coming from the direction of the explosion. It sounds almost like there's a festival going on. Hey, check that out! I look in the direction that Isobei is pointing and see smoke. That's over where the parking lot is. What the hell is that? It's like a bomb went off or something. Kaboom! Another explosion goes off. It makes the window panes of the school building shake. I can see a burst of red flame coming from the direction of the smoke. Wow, we couldn't get close enough to check it out even if we wanted to. Sudo comes running from that direction. What was that, Sudo? Oh, it's you, Hayami. Almost got killed. You know, Sudo. Are you saying? He says, you know, Sudo? Yeah, we're in the same class. You know him too? Oh, hold on, I'm trying to get to... Yeah, that's right, you have to do something. It seems that Isobe and Soto both know each other. Know him, he's one of my best customers. He may not look it, but he loves peep shots, especially bloomers and skirts. Isobe grabs Soto by the throat to get him to stop revealing his embarrassing secrets. Shut up. Just tell us what happened over there. I see, that's how they know each other. Fine. There's no need to strangle me. That was Leona Morimoto's car exploding. Exploding? Fire? The $500,000 car? Yeah, that $500,000 car is in teeny tiny pieces. It was like a massive terrorist explosion. You saw it? I was passing by. The girls' gymnastic team changing room is right there. Peeping again. I do find it highly entertaining, but why would her car suddenly explode? I know. Someone who has it in for her has set a bomb, right? She's pissed people off enough to drive them to do that. There are at least 50,000 people who would do it. I saw some people in the science club making something like a bomb the other day. I bet whoever did this asked them to make it for them. They'd make anything for the right price. If that's the case, I bet the assistant dean did it. What do you mean? I heard that the assistant dean was standing near the car right before it exploded. Are you serious? But I can see him doing it. She's done some pretty awful things to him. She ran over him and almost killed him this morning. He's got plenty of motive. So what happened to the assistant dean? He turned into a ball of fire along with the car. Even the assistant dean, who has a survival instinct of a cockroach, couldn't have survived this one. But who would get themselves blown up in the process? Are you sure he wasn't an innocent victim? He could have been a suicide bomber. I see. It could be. They're really getting into theorizing. They nod their heads satisfactorily at their ideas. These two seem to get along well. An ambulance speeds past us and goes through the social gates, the school gates rather, with its siren blazing. Blaring. Sorry, it's getting late. Now that we have our theory, I think I'm heading home. I don't want to get caught up in this anyway. You're right. You never know what may happen. I'm gonna check it out a bit. We all walked off in our own directions. The ambulance sped off with the assistant dean, sirens blaring. I'm home. I'm relieved that I finally made it to the dorm. Well, yeah, he made it home to the dorm. The day's events catch up to me. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. My stomach starts to growl. Come to think of it, I didn't get to have any lunch because of the social club. I haven't eaten anything since breakfast. It's no wonder I'm so hungry, especially after expending so much energy and so much semen. I'm so hungry. I'll eat anything. I mumble my way to the dining room. I enter the dining room. Everyone is sitting at the table waiting for dinner time. Hi, I'm home. You're home, juvenile delinquent. Otakawa gives me a cold look. Where have you been? You left during lunch break and never came back to class. It wasn't my fault. The Onomorimoto wouldn't let me leave. What were you doing for so long? Why is Otakawa interrogating me like this? What does it matter anyway? There's no way I can tell her. If I go into detail about what happened, Otakawa would never speak to me again, and that wouldn't be all. I know. What? Man, leave it to Nonomiya. Ayame-kun was called out by the social club and participated in a passionate welcoming party. How does she know that? A party. Skipping class to attend the party. You've become so important. I'm sure it was quite the party if Leona Morimoto was throwing it. Damn. Nonomiya blabbing her mouth off. A party is a nice way to put it. What they do is more like a witch's Sabbath. It's total debauchery. Yeah, debauchery. Debauchery? Kanada, who's been silent, reads aloud from the dictionary. Debauchery. Abundant drink and food. Its origin is a drunken feast put on by a king and has no obscene connotations. So how was it? It was a drunken mingling party with the rich girls, wasn't it? A social mingling party. Social mingling? Kanada acts like she doesn't see me squirming and flips through the dictionary again. Mingling. Coming together and moving apart with rigorous movements. Oh, that doesn't sound like mingling. Shit, I'm sure it's going from bad to worse in Otakawa's head. I'm sure they pumped you dry. Huh, I should have milked you more. Me too. I'll pass. What are you all talking about? This is the worst. Fortunately, Otakawa has no clue about these things, so she doesn't get it. If they keep going on like this, I'll completely lose her trust. Even though Miyagishi and the others are exactly right, it's hard not being able to say anything. Stop talking nonsense! Enough of this! I panic and try to steer the conversation in a different direction. Anyway, let's start dinner. I didn't get to eat lunch, so I'm starving. I'm hungry too. Oh, it's Nonomiya, right. I was saying Nonomiya. It's Nonomiya. See, Nonomiya's hungry too. Fine, let's have dinner then. Otakawa looks at the clock and sees what time it is. She begins preparing dinner. It's just getting good. Phew, saved. Thanks for waiting. After a little while, Otakawa brings the food to the table. Plop. She places a big bowl in front of me. What is this? Oh, look. A chill runs up my spine. It's tuna with grated mountain potato. You can't eat tuna? No, it's not that I don't like it. But it's a bit... I stare at the bowl in front of me. In the bowl is a steaming hot rice with slices of raw tuna on it. On top of that is creamy white grated mountain potato, and there are fine shreds of nori on it, too. It looks just like something else, just like that terrifying rice bowl that Himeki ate at the social club. Oh, man. I remember that scene and I'm suddenly nauseous. I feel something sour coming up the back of my throat. My appetite is suddenly gone. There's no way I can eat this. We're about to eat. Where are you going? Sorry. I suddenly lost my appetite. I'm really sorry. I run out of the dining room. What's up with him? He said he was hungry, so I gave him extra. I'll eat it then. Do as you like. Miyagishi is pleased. She takes the bowl without a owner and places it next to her own. I'm so lucky. I love tuna. You're gonna get fat if you eat that much. Shut up. This isn't gonna ruin my perfect figure at all. Miyagishi begins to shovel the food into her mouth. Delicious. This mountain potato is great. It's just like semen. Man, just... Women do... I wonder if women normally do that? I don't know. I don't know. Be surprised. I might be surprised. Otokawa slams her hand down on the table and is shaking. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Sarin, you're scary. You're hysterical. She's one of those people that reads the dictionary every night. Hysterical, a type of psychosis, a reaction to unfulfilled desires, caused by both mental and physical symptoms. Stop talking and eat! When my turn finally comes around, I drag myself into the bath to wash off my fatigue. I feel much better. I can feel my fatigue melting away in the hot water. I have to clean off the filth from the day, too. After all that activity, I smell of my stuff and their scents. On top of it all, Leona Morimoto peed on me. I was too drugged to do anything about it. Ooh, excuse me. It was all a horrible nightmare. To think that the social club has been doing this over and over makes my skin crawl. I sink into the water, up to my neck. I look up at the ceiling, which is almost hidden by steam. Those were the days. I sigh as I remember the school I used to go to before I came here. It's not like it was that long ago. I was still going there just last week. Every day was more or less the same, but I liked it. I did silly things with my friends, passing the uneventful days. But now there's too much going on. It's too much of a change. Every day is too much of a departure from normal life. And it's only been a few days since I've been here. So many embarrassing things have happened in such a short time. At this rate, by the time I graduate, I'll be nuts too. If I can make it till I graduate, that is. At any rate, I have to put an end to this. I can't very well run away, but by the same token, I can't really fight back with their tactics. That means I will have to find some way of putting an end to this. In order to do that, I have to do something about Leona Morimoto. So long as she keeps picking on me, I will not have any peace. I hope that my joining the baseball club will be the first step in getting her off my back. Worrying about it would do me no good. I have to have hope and start over again tomorrow. I make a feeble attempt to cheer myself on and close my eyes. The minute I relax, I'm overwhelmed by sleepiness. The fatigue from the day and the perfect temperature of water feels great. If I could just go to sleep like this, I wouldn't mind if my life was over. I began to drift off. Snore, snore, uh-oh. What? Oh. Yeah, he almost fell asleep and quickly had to stop himself from almost drowning in there. Fifth day, Thursday. I find my way out from under the blankets and search for the alarm clock with my hands. I yawn and stretch. I feel like I finally got some sleep. I feel like I slept at least 10 hours. I didn't hear any noise coming from Kanada's room, so either I slept really deeply or Kanada studied quietly. Either way, the fact that I didn't wake up in the night makes me think today might turn out to be okay. I wonder what time I went to bed last night. I try to remember what happened last night. I was exhausted. I remember taking a bath. But no matter how hard I try, I can't remember anything after that. It doesn't matter. I give up trying to think about it. I get dressed and head downstairs. I brush my teeth and wash my face and go to the dining room. Good morning. Everyone is already downstairs. They're watching a morning drama on TV, poking at their breakfast. Otokawa and I make eye contact, but Otokawa turns bright red and looks away. Huh? Is she still mad that I didn't eat dinner? Her reaction was a little strange. I sit down. I'm a bit confused. I begin to eat my breakfast. I devour it. After all, I didn't eat much yesterday. You look fine today. I guess you're okay, Miyagishi says. Huh? I'm fine? Did something happen? What? You don't remember? What? You don't remember anything, do you? Remember what? What do you remember about last night? Last night? I came home and went upstairs without eating dinner. Then I took a bath and then... I can't remember anything after that. I don't remember anything after that. Well, I guess I can't blame you. You almost died in the bath. What? Fortunately, Otokawa found you drowning in the bath. If she didn't, you would have died for sure. I see. So that's why I have no memory. You should thank Otokawa. You even got a passionate kiss from her. I told you to keep quiet about that. Besides, it wasn't a kiss. Don't misconstrue things. It was mouth to mouth. Yeah, but I saw you stick your tongue in his mouth. Stop talking nonsense. Otokawa vehemently denies Miyagishi's chidings. Even her ears are red. Well, I should thank you. Thanks, Otokawa. I did what anyone would have done. Otokawa was still embarrassed and refused to look at me. Saurian, was that your first kiss? Could very well be. After all, she's the embodiment of purity. What? If you keep talking like that, I'm gonna get seriously angry. Otokawa's about to seriously lose it. Wow, Saurian is seriously mad. Look at what time it is. It's time to go to school. Wait, don't leave me here. They practically run out of the room. Thanks for breakfast. Kanada, who had been eating breakfast while reading her reference book, follows them out. I can't believe them. Odokawa mumbles under her breath and cleans up their dishes. Her face is bright red. I see, so that's what happened with Odokawa while I was passed out. I realize the weight of what happened. I go silent as I imagine the scene. But I have no recollection of this beautiful experience. How unlucky am I? But if I was unconscious, having almost drowned, it makes sense that I got mouth to mouth. There's something that doesn't make sense, but I decided to consider myself lucky anyway. I sip my steaming hot coffee. I try to search through my memory, trying to remember what happened last night with Odokawa. Hang on a second, so what happened after the mouth-to-mouth? When I woke up, I was in my pajamas. Who put them on me? But what I'm more curious about is whether I was Odokawa's first kiss. Odokawa played it off, but I really want to know. Odokawa's finished cleaning up. She grabs the half-finished coffee. This is my chance. It says to ask. It'll be uncomfortable if I don't ask, so I decide to ask Odokawa. Odokawa. What? Was that your first kiss? Odokawa spits out the coffee in her mouth right at me in response to my serious question. What? What are you doing? It's your fault for asking me. It's your fault for asking a question like that. Ugh. What a mess. It's all over my shirt. Now I have to go change. You asked for it. Odokawa turns her back to me. So? What's the answer? Enough! Odokawa glares at me and evades the question. I cluck in disappointment. I unconsciously licked off the coffee that has landed around my mouth. A full-on kiss. Think what you like. Odokawa's ears are red again. She slaps me as hard as she can. I make the short journey to school with Odokawa as usual. We have plenty of time today, so we're not walking as fast as usual. So how's the studying going? It's not. I answer Odokawa's question by showing her my empty hands. With everything with the clubs and whatnot, I haven't had a chance to study. She looks aghast. You don't have any idea the position you're placing yourself in, do you? The exams are next week. Do you understand? But even if I start now, the results are going to be the same. If that's your attitude, I know what's going to happen. If you don't care, it's silly for me to worry. No. I do care. But I haven't even gotten the hang of the classes here. I don't even know where to begin. That's just an excuse. I'm not going to help you, even if you go into a panic at the last minute. You don't have to keep reminding me. I listen to Odokawa's lecture. Test, test, test. It's making me feel suffocated. It's important to study, but I think it's more important to have a good youth. After all, I only have one youth. I'm not asking for a lot, just to graduate and get a decent job. I fall in with the other students arriving at school and enter the school grounds. As we enter the grounds, Odokawa and my gaze stop on a figure that stands out. Why is the assistant dean dressed like that? It is indeed the assistant dean. He's covered in bandages and plasters and he's limping painfully. He looks very minorly injured for someone who was involved in that blast. It wouldn't have been surprising if he lost a limb or two. Oh, didn't I tell you? The assistant dean exploded with Leona Morimoto's car. Orukawa didn't know anything. I gave her a quick rundown of what happened yesterday. This is the first I'm hearing of it. He looks awfully good for what happened. It wouldn't have surprised anyone in that explosion. He must be really lucky. I'm not sure if he's lucky or unlucky. Even when the owner ran him over, his injuries were minor. It's like misfortune follows him around. It's strange. I would have thought that the newspapers and TV stations would have picked it up. It was a pretty big deal. It wouldn't get publicized if Leona Morimoto was involved in it. Even if she killed someone, it would get written up as an accident. If that was an accident, there's something wrong with the police. The assistant dean is a disaster. He's stubborn and naive, so Leona Morimoto just plays with him. He's also Superman. You can't have a life, but you can't die either. She has her eye on you every day as living hell. Orukawa looks at the assistant dean with pity. I look at him in fear that that could be my fate. I hope that doesn't happen to me. That bitch! I will not allow her to get away with this! Assistant Dean Machida drags his bandage-covered body along and heads slowly towards the teacher's room. In all of my 25 years as a teacher, I have never come to school with such negative feelings. After yesterday's incident, the assistant dean was taken to the hospital unconscious. The doctor was surprised that even after being in such a huge explosion and catching on fire, they didn't suffer more serious injuries. He is truly lucky to have survived a blast like that. The shrapnel from the explosion missed him, and all that burned in the fire was his suit. He's got only minor burns on his face and hands. The doctor said that he should be hospitalized for 2 weeks, but the assistant dean came to school against the doctor's orders. That sort of thing will not kill me. The assistant dean recognizes his misfortune, but he is thankful for his Oyama suit? It saved him from the fire. I'm surprised that a suit that cheap would be made of non-flammable material. If I hadn't been wearing it, I would have been roasted. So, of course, the suit he's wearing today was also purchased at Aoyama. But never mind about that. The question is that bitch, that brat, tried to blow me, the assistant dean, up with her car. Who in the world hooks their car security device up to a bomb? You're like Mad Max! I have somehow managed to keep my integrity as a teacher, but I'm at my limit. I may be known as Machida the Buddha, but my patience has run out. Oh no, my blood pressure is rising. Calm down, Kozo Machida. The assistant dean gets his breathing under control. He tries to keep the blood from rising to his head. But my efforts weren't for naught. That eyesore of a car blew up now that Brat can't drive to school anymore. If she'd obeyed me in the first place, this would have never happened. I'm sure she was mad when she saw it happen to her car. He snickered as he imagined Leona being upset. No matter how rich she may be, I'm sure she was shocked that her $50,000 car went up in smoke in a matter of seconds. Even if she was insured, there's no way the insurance company would just pay out a claim like that. The assistant dean's laughter is drowned out by a low rumble approaching from the distance. Do you hear something? I do hear something. It sounds like a jet engine or something. Maybe it's a military jet or something. It sounds like it's getting closer, but I don't see anything. Otokawa looks in the direction the sound is coming from to see if she can find the source. It is coming closer, and it's flying low too. I have a bad feeling. Judging from the loudness, it should be here soon, but the buildings are in the way, and I can't see what the source is. Hey, I bet it's gonna land around here. No way! Otokawa's comment scares me. It sounds so close, we should be able to see it by now. It seems like it's headed straight for the school. We all endure the mysterious ear-shattering noise and pray that it will go past. The volume suddenly increases and stops above our heads. At the same time, a gale force wind begins to swirl with us at the epicenter. What is this? I look and see a big black shadow on the ground. Above us! But the strong wind made it difficult to look up. I look over at Otokawa, the winds that are practically nailing us to the ground have completely pulled Otokawa's skirt up. I look around and see that most of the other girls' panties are exposed too. They're all in a panic. What are you looking at? Turn away! Otokawa screams at me with her face bright red. Normally a fist would come flying at me, but her hands are busy trying to hold her skirt down. But the wind is too strong, and no matter how hard she tries, her panties are still exposed. I want to look up, but I also want to look at Otokawa's panties. You idiot! I told you not to look! I realize if I keep looking, I'll pay for it later, and I shift my gaze upwards. What is that? I look up and gulp air. There's a huge aircraft hovering 20 meters above our heads. It's an airplane, but why is it floating? It's a small jet, no matter how you look at it. It's not a helicopter, but it's hovering in the air. Hey, look at that! It's a Harrier! One guy points at the airplane and screams excitedly. A Harrier is in the fighter plane that has vertical lift? I've seen it in the movies, but I never imagined that I'd see it for real. Oh, but what is a Harrier doing in Japan in a place like this? Who knows? I've never seen that insignia. I wonder what military branch it is. It hovers for a while, then slowly begins to descend. Hey, look at the mark on the plane. Isn't that the Morimoto Group's logo? You're right, but the plane looks like it's fully armed. The Harrier's landing gear comes out and slowly lands in front of us. The sound of the turbine slows down and the gale force winds calm down. What is this? Who is landing this thing in the middle of the school grounds? Once it quiets down, the assistant dean runs over to the mystery plane, screaming. We watch the assistant dean, but almost immediately something else catches our attention. Assistant Dean, your head! I notice right away and point towards the assistant dean's head. Hey, don't be rude, Hayami-kun. Otokawa scrambles to get me to lower my hand. What? Is there something wrong with my head? The vice principal isn't even thinking about it, and he doesn't even notice. He puts his hand on his own head in response to my reaction. Where is it? Where's my hair? The assistant dean notices that something is missing. His face, bright red with anger, begins to turn blue. Where is it? Where's my hair? The assistant dean begins to panic and frantically looks around for his missing hair. Your hair? Do you mean your toupee? The guy asks the assistant dean timidly. Yes, my wig! Did you see it? You saw it, right? Where is it? The assistant dean's intensity causes the guy to take a step back. Your wig flew off earlier and flew over there. The guy looks uneasy, telling the assistant dean. What? You lost sight of it, you idiot! What are you gonna do about my best piece, huh? Say something, you jerk! I can't breathe! The assistant dean has lost it. He's choking this guy. It has nothing to do with anything. Click. Slide. Behind the crazy assistant dean, the door to the Harrier slides open quietly, and someone stands up inside the cockpit. The mystery person dressed in a pilot suit from head to toe gets out of the Harrier. But it's impossible to tell who it is behind the smoky face shield of the helmet and the suit. It's you! You made my toupee fly off! The assistant dean accuses the mystery pilot. Apologize! Apologize right now and go find it! Find what you made blow off right now! The pilot slaps the assistant dean's hand away without a word. What are you doing? Are you challenging me? Excuse me, are you challenging me? Are you? You want to get into it with me? The assistant dean tries to egg the pilot on with his battered body and all. How dare you? You are the assistant dean. You should not be behaving like this. The pilot suddenly speaks, and it's a female voice. It's a distinctive voice that I've heard before. That voice! Fear and anger mix on the assistant dean's face. He takes a few steps back. The mystery pilot doesn't seem to care as she takes her helmet and pilot suit off. Once it's all off, Leona Morimoto is standing there in flesh and blood. And there we go, folks! That's where we're gonna end it for tonight. Don't worry, we're gonna be doing more of this. Every Monday is what I'm gonna try to commit to. At least every Monday, we'll see. If not, it'll be once a week. And we're gonna go back to, we'll just be doing 30-minute pieces. Cause, you know, we wanna kinda make this one last. And 30-minute pieces seem to work for a lot of people. But we wanted to do this as an hour because we hadn't done it in a month. So, yeah, there you go. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out and very tired. And we'll see you next time on Grim Sentai Corner with Discipline.